Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
You come to the book of John. I love studying the book of John. Matter of fact, I recommend to any person that's just got saved or wanting their relationship to Christ to be better, I always recommend that they go to the book of John and read the book of John. Here's the reason why. You'll get to know who Jesus really is in the book of John. I find it interesting that John does not start with a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, John doesn't start with a babe in Bethlehem in a manger, but John goes all the way back to before the beginning when he starts his gospel, because he starts it this way in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is he showing to us right there in that verse? He is showing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying this, that the Bethlehem manger was not the beginning of Jesus. Jesus, whenever the world began, Jesus was already there. He was the one that brought the beginning to the world in Genesis. In the beginning, God, uniplurality, when you study that out, it is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. If it was just God, then why did he say, let us make man in our own image? Let me tell you the reason he said, let us, because the Son and the Holy Spirit was there with him in the beginning when the beginning began. That was deep, wasn't it? We really don't even understand it, amen? The best thing to do is just believe it and receive it and rejoice in it, amen? But in John's gospel, there is seven distinct statements about the I Ams. And I'll say a little bit more about that in the introduction. That's what I want to begin looking at today and see what we can learn from the gospel of John. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. John chapter number 6, look with me in verse number 32. The Bible said in John chapter number 6, verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Now let me just say this real quickly in passing. The context of what he is talking about takes us all the way back to the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, and God sent down manna from heaven to feed them during the day. And what John is saying, or Jesus is saying, is Moses really didn't do that. It was God that done that. In other words, it is not man that can sustain your need, but it is God that can sustain your need. Note what he says in verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I'm interested in this statement. I am the bread of life. Father, I love you today. I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd illuminate our mind today. I pray, God, that you'd bring back to our remembrance, Lord, the things that we've studied, and God, that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I stand in a place where I'll do nothing but fail today. So, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me today. God, use us. Preach through us today. May the people see you through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I would say this, if we were to take a poll and ask a simple question to everybody sitting in here today, and that question would be, who is Jesus? Then I think that we would definitely get a multitude of different answers. Different people would say different things about who Jesus is. I read this week. J. Sidlow Baxter wrote this. Fundamentally, our Lord's message was Himself. He did not come merely to preach the gospel. He Himself is the gospel. He did not come merely to give bread. He said, I am bread. He did not come merely to shed light. He said, I am the light. He did not come merely to show the door. He said, I am the door. He did not come merely to name a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He did not come merely to the point to a way, but He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You say, preacher, what is He saying in that? He is simply saying this: whatever it is in your life that you are searching for, Jesus is the answer to that. On 7 different occasions here in the Gospel of John, He says, Jesus makes the statement, I am. Today I want to look at, I am the bread of life. Jesus is saying that He is the bread that our life needs. I'll show you 3 things and we'll go home and eat something for lunch. I'm not sure the crock pot was going this morning and it smelled good, so we're going to have something. Now watch this, as long as I don't make Leslie mad in the message. Number one, watch this. He's the bread of life. Number one, He satisfies your spiritual hunger. He satisfies your spiritual hunger. When we begin studying John chapter number 6, I think it's very important to understand the setting that John chapter number 6 is written in. We're going to notice something very interesting. Jesus begins talking about the bread of life. He says, I am the bread. But let's look at the chapter in its entirety. When we go back to chapter number 6, in the beginning of that, starting around verse number 10, the background of this story that Jesus has just said about being the bread of life is the feeding of the 5,000 men. Now, it was more than 5,000. The Bible says that there was 5,000 men that day. And according to the Bible, there was a young lad that had what? 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. So bread is already in their mind whenever we come to this passage starting in verse 31. At the end of this feeding, they wanted to take Jesus by force and make Him a king. Jesus had left them to go across Galilee. They followed Him and came to the other side. Jesus accused them of following only to satisfy their empty fleshly desires, or I would say it this way, their hunger that came from a fleshly desire. He then refocused the conversation upon more spiritual things. So the setting is this: they just eat bread that Christ has supplied for them. Now think about this. Not only do you see the setting of it, but note the supply of it. In our text, we read about Jesus making this important statement. But there's something before the verses that we read that I want you to notice with me. Go back to verse number 30. Listen to what the Bible said in verse number 30. They said therefore unto Him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Again, he starts in verse 32. And he says this to them, it wasn't Moses that gave that bread, but it was God that gave that bread. Jesus not only fed the thousands that day with a little boy's lunch, but he also spoke of the miraculous miracle and the provision that God gave manna in the wilderness in Exodus 16. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Just stay with me. I'm headed somewhere. Jesus is saying that just as God provided for their physical needs and satisfied their hunger, he will even more provide for your spiritual needs. We have a God today that longs to provide the food that you need spiritually, what you are searching for spiritually, what you are looking for spiritually, what you are hungering for spiritually. Jesus says this to you today, I am the bread of life. If I gave it to Moses and the children of Israel, if I gave it to the 5,000 men, whatever your need is and that you're hungering for today, he says, I can supply that. No matter what kind of bread you eat, think about this. No matter what kind of bread you eat, ultimately, in just a little while, you're going to become hungry again. Are you with me? You're going to become hungry again. Probably some of you got up this morning. How many eat a biscuit this morning? I'm going to put my hand down. Well, there's one or two eat a biscuit and probably some that lied right then. You eat something this morning. But ultimately, the flesh will begin to hunger again. You'll begin to want something else again. You know what? I bet if I keep preaching about a quarter till one or one, there'll be something inside of you that says, shut up, preacher. I'm ready to go eat. Why? Because the things of this world will only satisfy temporarily. And what Jesus is saying to us today, there's something more than a physical need. There's something more than a physical hunger. There is a spiritual hunger today. Now think about this. Only those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and repent of their sins and ask him into their heart, ultimately receive the eternal life. Look what he said in verse number 48. He said again in verse 47, back up, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting the supply. What is he saying? He's saying this. There is an everlasting life. There is something that I can supply to you. That spiritual hunger that you have, I can supply. And can I just say this in passing? I'm glad that it's a once and done. Amen. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He gave me eternal life. He gave that to me. He purchased me and gave me eternal life. So how can I give it back to him? He gave it to me. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that once saved, always saved, it's just a license to sin. No, it's a foundational doctrine found throughout the Word of God. Even right here, he says it's everlasting, the supply. Note this. He said, I am the bread of life. Verse 48. Verse 49. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. And this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Note verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Thank God there is a supply for our spiritual hunger today, and it's in him. Number one, there is he satisfies our spiritual hunger. But number two, note this with me this morning. I am the bread of life. He saves our sinful soul. He not only satisfies our spiritual hunger, he saves our sinful soul. I love verse 51 where he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I am the living bread. I'm glad. Can I just say this and pass, and I'll have this wrote down anywhere, but I'm going to say it and move on. I'm glad that I've got a living God today. I'm glad that I'm not serving a dead God today. I'm glad that I'm not praying to a dead God today. I'm glad that I serve a God that is alive and well today. Amen. I'm glad the Savior that I serve today is living today. If He wasn't alive, how could He help us? You know, let me tell you the reason the Catholic has no help, because Mary's dead. Can I say something else? The reason the Mormon has no help is because Joseph Smith is dead. The reason that those overseas have no help as a Muslim is because Muhammad is dead. Oh, but thank God I've got a Savior. He did die. Yes, He did. He died a physical death, but He did not stay dead. One third in glorious morning, He resurrected victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's alive today. He stuck around 40 days and then ascended back into the heavens so He could come back and get us. He is the living bread. The reason He can satisfy your spiritual hunger is because He's alive. Oh, yes. The reason He can save sinful souls, it's because He's alive today. You say, how do you know He's alive? I've already talked to Him. I've already talked to Him. You say you've done talked to Him multiple times. I've talked to Him since we've been here. And guess what? He answered. He wasn't surprised at my voice. Can I just say that? He wasn't surprised at my voice. If some of y'all was to talk to Him, He might be surprised. I'm not saying He won't know your voice, but it might surprise Him because it's been a minute. Well, y'all help me and we'll go on and eat chicken or something. I'm glad that I can talk to Him because He's alive. Think about this. There's the significance of the bread. He saves the sinful soul. Verse 50 and 51. He compares and contrasts manna and earthly bread with the spiritual food offered through a relationship with Christ. He reminds us that a physical bread only lasts for a while. That physical hunger can be satisfied and then returns. It can be satisfied and then returns. But the spiritual hunger, because there is a longing of our soul to see Him and to know Him, can be satisfied in Him today. The significance of the bread, but watch this. There is the supping of the bread. That word supping simply means this. He saves the sinful soul. That supping of the bread, it simply means this. It means to be a partaker of something. To be a partaker of something. I want to say this to you. Or can I illustrate it to you this way? I remember one time I went by Miss Helen's house, and I've been by there numerous times. But I remember one time I went by, and I don't know if she remembers this or not, but I remember one time I went by, and Miss Helen had just got a pound cake out of the oven. If you've ever had Miss Helen's pound cake, you know what I'm talking about. He was sitting over there in the kitchen, and I could tell by the aroma in the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It hadn't been out long. And I really don't know why I went by. I do. I think the Lord ordained me to go by that day. And in just a few minutes, she said, "Preacher, would you like a piece of that pound cake?" Oh, I don't want to eat your pound cake. Y'all know, my mama taught me manners, all right? But in the backside of my mind, I said, "No, I don't want a piece of it. I want the whole pound cake." I don't want it. Well, preacher, it won't hurt one thing. Brother Doug wants that. Oh, Doug's had enough. He'll be okay, preacher. I said, I would love a piece of that. You know what she done? She cut that piece of pound cake. And she brought it over there and she set it down. She set a fork down with it. Now, it was up to me to sup with that. In other words, to partake that. I wanted it. I knew it would help me. Somebody say amen. I knew it would bring comfort to my soul. It would change my life. Are you with me? But I had to do something. I had to partake of it. I had to partake of it. In other words, she done all she could do. It was up to me at that point to do the rest. I want you to hear me today. We can preach Jesus and you can see Him. You can have the aroma in the house of His glory. Matter of fact, what did that little lady in the New Testament do? She broke that alabaster box and she anointed Jesus with that alabaster box. That ointment that was in that year's wages is what it was that it cost. And she anointed Him. And no doubt about it, whenever she walked off from that, think about this. The very smell that she had anointed Jesus with was on her. When you studied that out, it was an ointment that would have been used for a king. You know what? As she walked down the street, somebody probably said something like this: that lady smells like she's been with a king. She had. Some of y'all don't even know where I'm at right now, but some of y'all's on board with me. She had the aroma of Christ. You go to church, are you hearing the preacher? And the glory falls, and you sit back going, man, I sure would like to get in on that. We preach Jesus and the way that He can satisfy your spiritual hunger today. And you're going, man, I sure would like to get in on that. We talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you're thinking, man, I sure would like to get in on that. Hear me and hear me well. The pound cake's been cooked. It's been sliced on Calvary. It's been set on a plate in front of you. But now it's up to you to take the fork and eat of the bread of life. And can I just say this to you today? I'm glad that there was a day that I began supping the bread of life. Oh, yeah. What a day, what a day when Jesus moved into my heart and saved my hell-deserving soul. The supping of the bread, the partaking of it. Oh, you can see it. I said this the other night. Remember, Scotty was talking and he said, preacher, you can lead a mule to water, but you can't make it drink. I can lead you to Calvary, but I can't make you get saved. I can lead you to joy unspeakable and full of glory, but I can't make you partake of it. I can lead you to bread, but it's up to you to partake of it. I see this. He satisfies our spiritual hunger. He saves our sinful soul. But then I'll show you this in closing today. Number three. He settles our searching. He settles. You know, there is a huge vastness of searching in America today. And I want to say something to you. If you're saved by the grace of God, be careful what you're searching. We're satisfied in Christ. There's a lot of people there trying to find something new in the Bible or something that nobody else has ever said. Man, just read the Bible and take it for what it says. He satisfies. He settles and He satisfies that searching that you have. Notice what the Bible said in John 6. Look in verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Notice the favor. He settles your search, and notice the favor in that. What does it say? It says this, that He draws us. I've heard this statement made before. Preacher, the night I got saved, I went looking for Jesus. I understand what you're saying. I understand that. But can I just tell, can I politely correct you on something? You really didn't go looking for Him. He came looking for you. And the only reason that you say that you went looking for Him was because of John chapter number 6, verse 44. No man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Let me tell you, the reason you wanted to know anything about Jesus is because He began to draw you. Let me tell you, the reason that you wanted to be saved is because He began to draw you. Let me tell you, the reason you wanted something different with your life, it was because He began to draw you. There is nothing in the natural man that draws you to Christ. Nothing. The natural man pushes you away from Christ. The natural man makes you run to the tree and take of the tree, Genesis chapter number 3. That is what the natural man does. Oh, but thank God he sent the Holy Ghost into the world. And because of that, he draws us to him. That searching inside of you today, you know where it came from? It came from him. That hunger that's inside of you, is there something better? Can I say, there is? There is? Is there something that will satisfy me? There is? Say, preacher, I've turned to this and I've turned to that. All over our county today, you know what? They've turned to alcohol. They've turned to drugs. They've turned to premarital sex. They've turned to fornication. They're turning to everything else in the world, trying to find satisfaction. Hear me and hear me well. You'll never find it in this world. Oh, but thank God I know where bread is at and what you're searching for. He'll settle that today. He draws you. What did he say? He said this in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what did he say? He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Well, notice the favor, but then notice this in closing. He settles your searching. Why? Because of the favor. But notice the filling. Verse 51. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give of the life of the world. It's like Jesus is simply saying this, stop running after food that spoils. Everything of this world's going to spoil. Are you with me? Miss Leslie said yesterday, I think she was talking to Madeline on Friday. Maybe it was Friday night when we was talking to Madeline or someday. Sometime. She said, I think I'm going to can some spaghetti sauce. I like it when she cans some spaghetti sauce. Because you know what that means? About January, when I want some good spaghetti, they're going to be some homemade good spaghetti sauce. And hers is the best. Brother Randy's is a close second, but hers is the best. If you've ever had Brother Randy's spaghetti sauce, you know what I'm saying. You know what she was saying? She said, I want to preserve something. You take that tomato and just leave it sitting down there in the basement. And you know what? In just a little while, it's going to rot. Begin to stink. You with me? But you can that and seal that, and it's preserved. They say it'll last a long time. It ain't going to last a long time around our house. You say, why? Well, number one, because I don't like to eat things that's out of date. And you said there's no date on canned food. Day is at my house. When I look on the top and it says 20, can and all, it's gone. We don't even need to reuse that can. You say, you ought not be that way. Well, pray for me, all right? She preserves it. Listen to what I'm fixing to say to you. Everything that you're searching for in this world, it's going to do nothing but pollute and rotten and never bring satisfaction. But what Jesus, make your way to the piano, Miss Daniel, what Jesus is saying, please, what Jesus is saying is this, what I give you, it's never going to need to be refilled. Can I just illustrate it this way? Because when I got saved, the Bible said this, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. So what he gave me, my salvation, the Holy Spirit sealed that. Y'all, if you knowed what that was, you knowed what that was. Miss Leslie cans that stuff. Wake up in the middle of the night and Leslie going, hallelujah, praise God. Go to sleep. I'm thanking him for sealing it. Well, we'll thank him in the morning. We can walk by and push the top, okay? The day I got saved, the Holy Spirit, watch this, sealed it. To say that I can lose my salvation is to say that I'm stronger than God. I'm stronger than the Holy Ghost. In other words, I can pull the seal of the Holy Ghost off and give God back something He gave me. It can't be done. It just can't be done. But the day I got saved, I got something inside of me, and I've not been hungry since. I've not been hungry since. When you have the bread of life, there will be quality to your life. There'll be quantity to your life that you can't find nowhere else. Where is it at? It's in the bread of life. Jesus said this in closing. John chapter number 6, verse 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we may, or that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." So, preacher, what are they saying? They're simply saying this. How can we have that bread? How can we be satisfied? How can we eat of this and be satisfied in Him? It's simple. It's that we believe that He is the Son of God, that He died for our sins, and that we repent of our sins and accept Him into our life. I think it's so interesting how simple God makes salvation, but how complicated man makes it. He says, "I'm the bread." What do you do with bread? You simply eat it. You trust it to sustain whatever it is that you need. Let me tell you what you need to do to Christ this morning. You just need to eat Christ. So preach, how to do that? You realize who He is. He is the Son of God. He's not just some man. He's not just some individual that was born one day and done miracles. No, He's God. He's God and was incarnated into man. You realize who He is. Amen. And that He and He alone is the one that can sustain the hunger that you have. You don't only realize who He is. You repent of your sins before Him. Just preach out of it. It's simple. "God, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner." And I just say this to you, I can't remember every sin I've committed this week. And the day I got saved, I couldn't remember every sin I'd committed in 16 years. But you know what I said? "God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner." And at that moment, I was saying to Him, "Everything that I've done, God, I'm sorry for it." And then I said this, "God, I want You to come into my heart and save me. I believe that You are God. I believe that Your Son is Him. And I want that bread in my life." I wrote this down. "I am" changes who I am. Every morning that the children of Israel woke up and went outside, they could either pick up that manna and live, or they could walk past it and die. You'll do the same thing with Jesus this morning. You can either pick up the bread of life and eat it and live eternally, or you can reject it and die and spend an eternity in hell. It's just that simple. It's that simple. It's not complicated. It's that simple. There's heaven, there's hell. We accept Christ into our heart, repent of our sins, and trust Him. He saves us. We spend eternity in heaven. We reject the bread, we go hungry and die and go to hell. What is it today? I'm glad that I can say, I have tasted and seen that the Lord, He is good. And if you came in this morning and you're searching, if you're hungry, I know where bread's at. I know where bread's at. Amen. You know what witnessing is? You know what testifying is? It's just one beggar telling another beggar where they can find bread. I know where bread's at this morning. He said, "I am the bread." Everything that you need, He can sustain it this morning if you allow Him to.